race, religion, politics. Do we dare talk about that on the radio? You bet.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, this is a very important day on the Line of Fire, and it will only be significant, though, if I hear from you and we can interact. This is not a day just to sit back and hear what I have to say. This is a day when we're going to interact, when we're going to learn from each other, where hopefully we can expose blind spots in one another and help us move forward together as followers of Jesus. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. Now, I'm fully aware that there's one train of thought that says just avoid the issues of race, religion, and politics. Just avoid them, because it's a no-win situation. No matter what you say, you're going to make somebody upset. You're going to alienate listeners. You're going to offend someone. That's possible. However, I'm willing to take that risk with the hope, and I'm speaking in particular now to followers of Jesus, because if we don't have that in common, it's going to be difficult for us to talk through these issues. But I'm willing to take that risk because I'm committed to listen to you if you're committed to listen to me. I'm committed to hear you out if you're committed to hear me out. Here's my assumption. When it comes to race, religion, politics, all of us have blind spots. All of us are products of our environment. All of us are products of our race, our background, to some extent or another. Meaning, you cannot know fully what it's like to live in my shoes unless you're me. And I can't know fully what it's like to live in your shoes unless you're you. Unless I were you. And we are products of our upbringing environment. Most of us are Americans. We see the world a certain way. I'm a Jewish white American following Jesus for 41 years. You better believe that my outlook on life in certain ways would be different, say, if I was an Indian Christian raised in India and lived my entire life there. If I was a Chinese Christian that came out of atheism, say. If I was a black American whose grandfather came out of slavery. In other words, we're all going to come to the table with different backgrounds, and that doesn't mean that the backgrounds are right or wrong. However, what is wrong is to be divided. What is wrong is when there is hostility between us. What is wrong is when we misunderstand each other. So I'm willing to take the risk because I just can't dance around issues for years, so concerned if I say a certain thing a certain way that you're going to misunderstand it, or if you say a certain thing a certain way, I'm going to misunderstand. When I say you, I'm not talking to any group. I'm saying generically. So my solution is, let's talk it through. Let's talk the issues through. And I want to lay out a few parameters. I'm going to give you a few opening thoughts and then go straight to the phones, and we're going to spend all of our time listening to one another and interacting, all right? I have said for years, and I've written about it, that in many ways, white evangelicals have sold their soul to the Republican Party. And we have this instant allegiance to the Republican Party, and we've just got to get the candidate in as if this candidate's going to bring some type of end to abortion and so on and so forth. And of course, we are deceived in thinking that way. To a great extent, black evangelicals have sold their soul to the Democratic Party and are just going to vote reflex automatically for the Democrats as if they're the ones that are going to bring social justice and help for the poor. And obviously, that's failed. That's failed. We need to sell our soul to the Lord and to the Lord alone. And we need to reevaluate the depth of our political alliances. Oh, it's going to get very interesting. Stay right there.
Came to the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us as we focus today on race, religion, and politics. We're going to be going to the phone shortly. Let me lay out a few more preliminary statements. I became concerned about this a little over 4 years ago when then-Senator Obama was running for presidential candidacy with the Democrats. And I said I am concerned about his policies because he is radically pro-abortion and radically pro-gay activist. And if elected, he would be the most radically pro-abortion, pro-gay activist president in our history. I had taken issue the week before with something John McCain had said. It surprised me when I started getting calls saying, why do you have to bring up race all the time? I said, what do you mean race? They said, well, you're always bashing Barack Obama. I said, well, first, I've only mentioned him a couple or three times, and I've mentioned other candidates that I differed with. But then I mentioned black candidates I really liked, that I'd gladly vote for, joyfully vote for. I said, it has nothing to do with race. That began to disturb me. Why was any issue that I had with Mr. Obama perceived to be racial? That was grievous to me, actually, because it was a false judgment coming against me. It's just like if you call and say, well, Mike, I don't like your show. And I say, oh, that's because you're an anti-Semite. Why do you have to keep bringing up Jewish things? Why are you so anti-Semitic? You go, huh? What are you talking about? Well, that was grievous to me. But I thought, okay, somehow I've got to overcome that. I've got to overcome that by demonstrating it's not true. Even though it's not true, I've got to demonstrate it's not true to my listeners. And folks who've listened for through the years know that there's not a racially negative bone in my body. In fact, I would have loved to have had the privilege of voting for Barack Obama and said that I was able to vote for our first black president. That would have been so meaningful to me, but I couldn't in conscience before God. Now, I assure you that if Barack Obama stood for the things that I stood for, I'd vote for him in a heartbeat. And if the whitest of the whites stood on the other side, I'd vote against that person in a heartbeat. And if a Jewish candidate stood for XYZ that I didn't stand for, I'd vote against them in a heartbeat. Those are not things I see or look at or evaluate in terms of a candidate. The issues are the issues, and yet they keep coming up. Now, I am sure there are blind spots on all sides here. I'm happy for you to reveal a blind spot in me if you're happy for me to reveal a blind spot in you, okay? But I struggle with the fact that when I address issues with white evangelicals, I wrote an article the morning of the elections, a warning to moral conservatives in the event that Mitt Romney was elected, a warning to moral conservatives about putting our trust in the Republican Party or Mitt Romney. I wrote an article earlier in the year saying Mitt Romney is not the answer. I had someone come on the show and spent 2 hours saying why people couldn't vote for Mitt Romney. And I said, I'll vote for him with great reservation, but let's sound all the alarms and warnings. Yet when I take issue on the other side, it becomes race. I don't understand that. I honestly don't understand it. So I need some help to work that through. Also, if we consider the larger picture here, okay, that roughly 40% of white Americans voted for Mr. Obama, but only about 4% of black Americans voted for Mitt Romney, that would say that one side can't point a finger at the other side and say, well, that's just race, because 40% of Americans still voted for Barack Obama and they were white, whereas only about 4% of African Americans voted for Mitt Romney, okay, and they were black. He's white. So what does that prove? Well, it proves that to point your finger and say it's based on race, I would say it's a very dangerous thing to say. Now, are there racial strongholds in each party? Absolutely. Are the Republicans who hate blacks? Absolutely. Are the Democrats who hate whites? Absolutely. But the biggest point I want to make is we make a grave error, no matter what color we are, ethnicity, Hispanic, Asian, whether we're Jew, Gentile, black, white, we make a grave error when we put all of our energy and trust in a political party. And I'm just going to replay comments that I made last week that to my surprise, stirred up a bit of controversy, and then to the phones, and we're going to stay on the phones for the next 50 minutes. This is what I said last week. I have called on the carpet white evangelicals for putting our trust in the Republican Party and putting so much energy, effort into getting political candidates elected, even though those candidates were hardly going to be ideal to the cause anyway. And thank God for those that do stand for righteousness in the political realm. But I want to speak plainly to my black evangelical friends. If you compromise your values or your convictions because of the color of a man's skin, that's sin. And you're accountable for what happens in America in the next 4 years by your vote. I just want to say that plainly. When 96% of African Americans still voted for President Obama, although I'm hearing repeatedly for months from so many saying we cannot vote for him, we cannot support him, if they simply dropped out and didn't vote by the hundreds of thousands because they couldn't vote for Mitt Romney either, that'd be one thing. But the turnout, about 13% of the voting black Americans, which was the same as in 2008, and the polling data I saw said it was 96% supporting the president, I can't believe that there wasn't a lot of moral compromise in the midst of that, or some twisted justification to say, even though I disagree with this, I still have to vote for him. That's bad. I'm going to speak plainly to both sides, okay? Because I care about truth. I care about truth and advancing the kingdom. Let's get our focus where it belongs, and with God, come on. All things are possible. All right, so that was my point. I addressed at great length in previous broadcasts and in writing issues I had with white evangelicals, and then I addressed much more briefly issues I had with black evangelicals and said, if you had moral issue with his stances on the killing of the unborn and gay activism, as well as perhaps Israel as others, and yet you voted for him because of skin color, that if you did, that would be sin. Okay? Now, I put these things on the table. I want to hear from you if you think we should be giving our total allegiance to one of the political parties, or if you think I'm being hypocritical or missing something. Please, I'm not here to argue. I'm here to interact so that we can move things forward together where we need to, for the gospel's sake and for the sake of our nation. Fair enough? All right, to the phone, starting with Barbara in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. I'm going to lay a little foundation for my question here. I've been studying the word footstool in the Bible, and I can't find anything in the Greek or Hebrew that indicates it's anything more than a place that God allows to be built up by angels to put their feet on the neck of disobedient angels and keep them down. And as a Messianic Jew, I'm concerned for Jews like Sid Roth who do not...
Barbara, I think that's completely off topic, actually, as we're talking about race, religion, and politics. So feel free to call back on a Thursday if you like, all right? But off topic for today. Thank you, though, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Moses in Newark, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I was just going to speak. I actually don't believe in the political system. I think it's corrupt. I think there's a shadow government that runs, and the Bible just compounds that fact because it speaks that the devil's in control of the world. It probably couldn't make changes at the state level, but even then, I think there's corruption, so I wouldn't put my trust in no political party. I'm not a Latino, and, you know, I believe that, you know, growing up in a Pentecostal church, just we need to get more spiritual and look for God and just live in holiness, what you preach. And, you know, I think we shouldn't place our trust completely in the government. I think it's possible changes at the state level, but at the national level, I definitely believe that the devil's in control of that.
All right, so Moses, your view would be, and I'm not being critical, just to understand that you wouldn't even vote for a presidential candidate in the election either way?
No, I wouldn't. Based on Obama's belief on abortion and, you know, homosexuality, and Mitt Romney, you know, based on the fact that he's a Mormon, I'm not saying he wouldn't be a good leader.
I've said the whole time that I respected someone not being able to vote for either candidate. But all clear. Thank you, sir, for your perspective. I would say that whenever possible, we should vote. However, change will come. The great change will come when we put the energy and finances and focus that we put into politics, when we put that into the church, when we put that into awakening, when we put that into making a radical impact on society through the gospel, that's when great change will come. And that's what I'm advocating more than anything. 866-34-TRUTH. Damon in Orlando, You can get started now, but we may have to continue right after the break. But go for it, sir.
All right. Yeah, I'm biracial, and like Obama. And I gotta say, firstly, I think whites have as much a right to talk about Obama as blacks do, because if it's an issue of ownership, whites, he was raised by his white mother. A white woman gave birth to him, so I think white people have just as much a right to have an opinion. He's half white. As far as the...
You got my interest. All right, stay right there. We'll get to your call on the other side. And friends, feel free to take issue with me. Do it in a Christian tone. However you respond, I'll do it in a Christian tone. But let's get some light. Let's get some insight. Let's not alienate each other. Let's move forward. All right?
Send it, Lord. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire as we talk about race, religion, and politics. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones, and we are on with Damon in Orlando, identified as biracial, and Damon's told us that he feels blacks and whites can equally address issues with Mr. Obama, and that it should not be perceived as a race issue based on that, given Mr. Obama's biracial background. There is another point, though, you wanted to make, sir.
Yeah, I would also say that, in my opinion, and I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I knew a lot of black people, including my wife, who's actually African, who did not vote for him first time, and even more who didn't vote for him this time, and it just seemed like a fixed election. And I don't know if I trust those 90%, 6% numbers. It sounds, to me, it's very suspect. I mean, like, when I went to the poll, they didn't ask me what ethnicity I was, so how do they gauge accuracy?
Yeah, it's exit polls, basically, is how this is done, and surveys are done. It should be supposedly demographically accurate. But Damon, I have to say that just based on interaction that I had with many, many callers, and I know the vast, vast, vast majority of people who listen to talk radio don't call. So every call represents a lot of people. And then black pastors that I had on the air, they were not endorsing Mitt Romney. In fact, one of them told me privately, I think on the air too, that he felt it was kind of judgment on America that these were our two possible candidates. So he was anything but endorsing Romney, but I had black leaders on who represented tens of thousands of Christians and probably hundreds of thousands, but many, many churches, and they were saying why they could not vote for Mr. Obama because of his various stands. And I thought based on that, just like there was a shift in the Jewish vote, over 10% shift, that we'd see that in the African-American vote. But according to the polling that was done, there was actually an increase in the black vote, whereas there was a substantial decrease in the white vote. And Damon, some of the reasons that have been given for decrease in the white evangelical vote is A, they were not happy with Mitt Romney as a Mormon, or B, they were not happy with him as a candidate in general, feeling he wasn't conservative enough. 866-34-TRUTH. Jose in North Bergen, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. You hit the nail on the head. Race-based politics, I think that when your decision upon which you base your vote is going to be racial, I think that as a Christian, you're compromising your, if it's more important to you than Jesus Christ, than the Messiah, that you have compromised your faith. You've abandoned God. You've made a decision against God, and you've made a decision for that person over the Lord. And I know I have friends of mine that did not vote. Some of them did not vote. They're black evangelicals. They didn't vote for Barack Obama the first time in 2008. I don't know if they voted this time. I spoke to one of them, and she told me, and I couldn't believe it. You know, after all of the issues, after 4 years of this, she was conflicted. Now, how a Christian can be conflicted over a vote when it was, the differences were so stark morally between these two men is beyond me. I cannot understand how such a large sector of our public, and I'm speaking about black evangelicals, could compromise the very the core beliefs of their faith, which is supposed to be number one in their lives, and vote for an individual, regardless of who he is, based on nothing more than just the very fact that they're of the same, supposedly,
Jose, for sure, the black Christians that I've spoken with have not, under no circumstances have they said that they voted for Mr. Obama based on skin color. Now, some said they did the first time around, the excitement of having a black president, the justice that would bring, the healing that would bring. And I understand the momentum or the momentous nature of that, and that many really didn't know what his policies would be, even though we warned in advance. So some have said they wouldn't vote again. But the ones I spoke with have the same questions and say, how could any of us vote for a Mormon? To them, that was a fundamental compromise and contradiction. So I understand their perspective. My answer was that his Mormonism had nothing to do with the platform on which he was running or would govern. But I understand that concern, understood it from day one. Others have said that they were greatly conflicted, received some very, very touching calls from African-American Christian listeners last week that said they were terribly conflicted in the vote. They felt that the Republicans did not have a heart for the poor, for social justice, and that they couldn't vote for a Mormon. They had real reservation voting for Barack Obama, but felt that was the right vote. And again, I have no problem with people sitting out the election. I know many differ with that, but I personally have no problem with someone sitting out the election, okay? However, and you know, you vote for state offices and other things like that. I just want to raise a couple of points. It could well be that the Republicans are out of touch with black America and with Hispanic America. Could well be. I am not a defender of the Republican Party. I want to say that plainly. It could well be that the Republicans are out of touch with black America and Hispanic America, and that was reflected in this last vote. That could well be. I want my black Christian friends to help me understand what the Democrats are actually doing in terms of their policies, because from what I understand, the economic situation of black Americans is decidedly worse now than when Mr. Obama came into office, and that the perpetuation of the welfare food stamp system is not helping but hurting, and that with compassionate programs, there needs to be empowerment to help. Now, please tell me what the Democrats are doing. I'm not defending the Republicans. I am not defending the Republicans. But I don't understand why there's such allegiance. I don't understand why white evangelicals have such allegiance to the Republicans, and I don't understand why black evangelicals have such allegiance to the Democrats. Even when it was white presidents running, it was the same kind of allegiance. I don't understand that. So please help me. I need some enlightenment and help. I'm not being sarcastic. I need some enlightenment and help to hear from you as much as possible. That's one thing. Here's the second thing. Can you, my black Christian friends, understand how someone can be a one-issue voter? In other words, in the days of slavery, I think we all would have been one-issue voters. I don't care who the candidate is. If they're pro-slavery, we don't vote for them. I don't care who the candidate is. If they're pro-abortion, I don't vote for them. If we recognize this as the shedding of innocent blood, which is as high on the list as anything in God's sight, we can't vote for that. You say, well, we don't believe in idolatry. We couldn't vote for Romney. He's a Mormon. Again, that was not part of the platform. But if you say that, fine, then sit it out. So can you understand how we can be one-issue people? Black and white as well. All right, we're going to talk this through because we're one in Jesus if we're saved, all right? Take advantage of today's special resource offer. 12 hours of super important teaching on spiritual warfare, which is where the battle really is. It's only $20 plus postage. If you get it today, $20 postage paid, and I'll give you another 8-session series, my teaching on Jesus Revolution and fear of God versus fear of man and how we're called to live. So you get about 20 hours of teaching to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player for $20, and we'll pay the postage. 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's 1-800-278-9978, or go to our online bookstore, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
As we talk today about race, religion, and politics, I saw something quite shocking. It is from Pastor Robert Jeffress, senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas. And the Sunday before the election, so a little over a week ago, he said, "I want you to hear me tonight. I'm not saying that President Obama is the Antichrist. I'm not saying that at all. One reason I know he's not the Antichrist is the Antichrist is going to have much higher poll numbers when he comes. President Obama is not the Antichrist, but what I'm saying is this. The course he is choosing to lead our nation is paving the way for the future reign of the Antichrist." Well, I don't agree with that. With all respect to Pastor Jeffress and the good that he does in the church there, I absolutely would not make a statement like that. The volatility of it, the hostility that it could stir up, the negative feelings, number one, I don't believe it. Number two, I would not say something like that, with all respect to Pastor Jeffress, because he said it publicly, because he's a seasoned pastor. I'm sure he meant to say what he said. Now, do I believe that the president's policies are pushing us the way of socialism and some of the negative ways that the European nations have gone? Yeah, that seems fairly evident. It's a different philosophy of government. And yeah, that seems fairly evident. Is that paving the way for the Antichrist, one world government? So I would absolutely not say that. And I would not say it again because I don't believe it. And I would not say it because I feel the comments could be very destructive. I am not going to spend the next 4 years bashing Mr. Obama. Where I take issue with him, I will take issue, but I will even in that case say it very rarely because I want to keep my focus where it needs to be, which is on the people of God, living as the people of God. But we got to be able to look at things where you can talk issues, I can talk issues, without us seeing or hearing race or politics. We got to do better. We, all of us, to move forward in Jesus. Because this election was super divisive. I expect that in the world, but it was super divisive in the church too. And I'm not pointing fingers either way, but that ought not to be. In fact, I am. I'm pointing fingers in all directions because all of us somehow, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, whoever, somehow we play a role in the lack of unity that exists during these election times. Courtney in Chicago, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Yes. Well, I voted for Obama, but like many of the people you said that you've spoken to that said they were going to vote for Obama, it wasn't necessarily because of a Christian or a biblical viewpoint. It might have been on a policy standpoint. But personally, one reason why I know I didn't vote for Romney is because of the rhetoric, especially when it comes to Iran, not necessarily saying that his relationship, because I know he's a good friend of Bibi Netanyahu, but before we went into Iraq, Bibi Netanyahu said that if somebody goes in and takes out Saddam Hussein, the whole Middle East will praise them, you know, because similar, and I'm not saying they were a nuclear threat, but very recently, he said the very same thing, except changing it from Saddam Hussein in Iraq. He mm-hmm. said the exact same in regards to Iran. And I'm not necessarily trying to promote war, and I definitely don't believe that the president should promote war. I think that he should go through peace. I understand some of the things in which Obama did I don't like, you know, but he has... And, you know, just on that standpoint, he has been consistent and he doesn't want to just go over to Iran and start up a war because that's exactly what Bush did. And, you know.
Now, are you aware, though, Courtney, that Romney made clear that all efforts should be made to avoid war with Iran? But tell you what, got a break. I want to come back to you and I want to ask you one quick question to think about, which is if abortion is the shedding of innocent blood, God hates that, and Mr. Obama has been the most pro-abortion president in our history, how could you vote for him? Just want you to tell me.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are continuing our discussion on race, religion, and politics. If I ask an honest question, it's not to attack. It's simply to understand. And if I take issue, you can take issue with me. That's fine. But I want to be as honest as I can before the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. And I was just looking at my Facebook page, and someone posted a horrific picture. And I know I get all kinds of people on my Facebook page. This is my private page. And it said, and you voted to support this, multiple questions. And it's a picture of a ripped up baby, the head lying by the side, victim of abortion. It's just a horror to look at. And I thought, no, I'm going to leave that on my Facebook page. There's no possible way I'd hide that. It doesn't matter who that offends. I mean, it's grotesque and horrific. I cannot understand if, just like I could not understand if a Christian voted for a pro-slavery candidate 150 years ago, I could not understand that, could not justify that. I can't understand how, when, as senator, Barack Obama, was it four times? I may have referred to it as Partial Birth Abortion Act. It's the Born Alive Protection Act. When he vetoed that, voted against it. Was it four times? That's a baby that survives abortion can then be protected. If the baby survives abortion, so it's survived outside the womb, it's there in a hospital bed or cubicle, that you cannot kill that baby. Born Alive Protection Act. Mr. Obama voted against it every time it came up, and then has re-entrenched his position. So I could understand the Christian saying, I can't vote for Romney and I can't vote for Obama, so I'm going to vote third party or sit out the presidential vote. I can't understand how someone can vote for someone and say, yes, you have my vote, I am therefore accountable with you for what you do, when you know that person's position on the shedding of innocent blood. So, Courtney, I'm still baffled by that. I haven't yet gotten an answer from a white or black Christian that explains that to me, how there can be justified vote for someone who so radically stands for the shedding of innocent blood in the womb and even outside the womb.
Well, I completely understand the situation, but even if that act was passed, you still had Roe v. Wade that was active, and that was underneath Nixon, because that happened in 73, I think.
Yeah.
But, and I do understand Romney's position. He said one of the first things he was going to do outside of overturning Obamacare and all of the other things, he said he was going to reverse Roe v. Wade. But that probably wouldn't have happened, because he just doesn't have the power to veto it or anything like that. It has to go back to Congress.
Here's my question, though. I understand there are nuances to it, but you voted. I'm just baffled by this. You voted saying, I am backing you, sir, as president. You have my vote. And he's using your vote now to further. He's now pushing companies to pay for this, pushing every American to pay for abortion. And he has your vote to do it. I don't get that.
I completely understand, but see, you also, I mean, people have free will, and you cannot necessarily, I mean, because the statistics have gotten so high, and I do understand some of his positions, I'm saying that was not one of the reasons why I am supporting Obama. But I'm also saying that, you know, there are things, you know, people do have free will, and people can choose to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Even no matter what law is enacted or what.
I understand, you know? but your vote means support. That's why you said you didn't want to vote for Romney for fear of him pushing us to war. Hey, just do me a favor. The election's done, right? Just give this some serious prayer. And especially for black Americans, I mean, this is black genocide. Blacks being aborted in the womb, it makes for more deaths than car crashes, suicides, drug overdoses, heart disease, you name it. So just pray about it. I say that to be respectful of your relationship with God, sir. Back to the phones in one moment. This is a call that we got from Nancy, identified herself as a black woman from New York City. And just want you to hear a relevant part of our conversation last week.
I found in talking to my African-American friends who say they are Christian, actually I believe they are, but for some reason they don't seem to weigh the life issues with the same weight that they weigh things like, oh, well, you know, Romney might send us to war, I've heard. Racism, they seem to weigh it differently. And I'm a nurse, by the way. I know about shedding innocent blood. I've seen it, okay? But yeah. What I'm saying is that I don't understand. I'm having problems with the disconnect with you're reading the scripture, you're seeing what the Lord says about this. But on the other hand, you're willing to vote for this man that's making us pay for it, but you and it's genocide for us, really.
Oh,
and
yeah, it is,
are
horrifically.
You're not following through with the vote because it seems like they were more frightened of Republicans than they were of this.
Right, so I've heard that from many black listeners that recognize that this is black genocide, and now with the president's policies would force every American to be paying for abortions and would force companies, Christian companies and businesses, to go against their own convictions here. It's very grievous. So I want to say again, I fully understand if you couldn't vote for Mitt Romney. I have plenty of Christian friends of mine that said I can't vote for him. I'm sorry. And I'm going to vote for third party or I'm going to sit out the presidential vote. I still don't understand the valid reason that, again, if we were in the days of slavery, and there was a pro-slavery candidate who was going to be real strong in other ways, could we vote for him? No. So I'm not even mentioning the gay activist issues or friendship with Israel issues or things like that, or the fact that the poverty situation for black Americans has gotten worse in the last 4 years. I still don't understand how a vote could be cast for someone who so aggressively stands for the shedding of innocent blood. I don't understand that. I'm trying to interact, but I still don't understand that. So we're going to continue to talk. Janet in Montgomery Village, Maryland. We live pretty close to that when we were in Montgomery County. Our building, our congregational building was in Rockville, offices in Gaithersburg and home in Olney. So thank you for calling from Montgomery Village.
Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to a black minister several weeks before the election, and he kind of helped clarify something for me that I want to share. He said, we need a kingdom candidate, but there's no kingdom because Christ hasn't returned. And so follow your principles, you know, either Democrat or Republican, because a third party embracing kingdom principles would be best, but we're not living in Christ's return. So, you know, vote what the principles are that you feel are most important and vote. So that's how I voted. But I wanted to offer something to you. Asked if someone could enlighten you. Now, I'm a white Christian, college educated, but I did work for social justice in the 70s. I was a scholar at the Justice Department. I did the affirmative action case and went to the Supreme Court that found for affirmative action for women and minorities and established that as a landmark decision. I did that research, and I was the person that did all the research for the attorneys and interviewed the black female that got the job that she deserved at the top, because she was the most qualified. So social justice has been primary in education. My parents taught me from day one is primary, and you're equal, and you're smart, and you can do anything. And so that and the poor, you know, and you asked why blacks would vote Democrat. Well, the Voting Rights Act, Johnson, the Democrats,
oh,
I know.
No, I understand.
So,
I understand
that's
a lot of,
why, yeah, the
yeah, I understand
justice.
A lot of the history.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is when the allegiance is so deep among evangelicals, just as I've criticized white evangelicals for so giving themselves to the Republican Party through the years, and you know, somehow the right elected official is going to bring about all this change, and then 4 years later we're disappointed and we voted for you but you took advantage of us. I think it's the same across party lines. But hey, we got a break coming up. Was
okay.
There one comment you were moving towards, though? I didn't want to cut you off.
Well, you know, it's what that black minister said. You know, we're not living in a Christ return with a kingdom. A party where it's going to be perfect. So vote your conscience, but vote, you know, neither one is perfect, but vote the principles that are most important to you. And that, you know, that's what I did. So that's how I felt it was more important to vote for social justice and the poor with Obama than Romney, who I didn't feel reflected anything that I worked so hard for. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the problem is, though, that you stood for a candidate who stands for wiping out this generation before they ever get out of the womb.
Well, you can pray for women. You can volunteer in pregnancy centers. You can make a difference in other ways. Women have free will. They just because there's a law passed doesn't mean they have to.
Yeah, but
to
when
do
you
it.
Have a candidate who's now forcing this on companies and,
well,
and
the
has,
thing is,
has very.
Said,
yeah, hang on, Janet. I mean, that's the whole thing. I still don't see having a welfare state and more people on food stamps as actually helping anybody. So I agree with Congressman Alan West that things have gotten worse for Black Americans under Mr. Obama than they were before. But again, I appreciate the question. I just don't see the Democrats as the party of social justice any more than I see the Republicans as the party of real pro-life. Mm-hmm.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So why did Planned Parenthood put their clinics, so-called, in poor areas? What's some of the motivation? Compassion for the poor or racism? Would you go to blackgenocide.org when you get a chance? Would you please do that? Blackgenocide.org. And as Pastor Clenard Childress Jr. says, the most dangerous place for an African American is in the womb. Just go, please go there when you get a chance, all right? Blackgenocide.org. Click on photos, click on abortion and genocide, click on Planned Parenthood, find out some of the history, some of the things that Margaret Sanger said, the founder of Planned Parenthood, and understand perhaps why this alone is sufficient for me to say I can't vote for any candidate who is pro-abortion, especially one who is pushing it in such a way that now it is challenging religious freedoms, both for ministries as well as for, in particular, businesses and Christians individually. 866-34-TRUTH as we talk about race, religion, and politics. Look, I'm committed to be honest with you, and I know you're committed to be honest with me. And we may end up the show with some disagreement. I'm going to end in ways that I think we can all agree on, all right? But hopefully you'll realize my goal in doing this is to move us forward so that we can focus on issues and do the right thing and not put all of our energy and effort into the political system. Let that have its role. But it is way, way, way too influential in a lot of our thinking. And then on the flip side, others drop out entirely in an uninformed way. Our friend Reverend Bruce on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, how, my dear brother. Be encouraged. Be encouraged because I support everything that you're saying. First of all, I have had major backlash in fighting against the reelection of Obama. I am an African-American, and I am a conservative Republican. I didn't vote for Obama the first time nor the second time, not so much because I'm a conservative Republican, but because I prayed. He's biracial, and I thought the idea would be nice, you know, but I prayed, and God warned me not to vote for Obama, which was okay with me because I'm a conservative Republican, but what I don't understand, I have lost family members, I have lost friends, I have lost colleagues over my stance in fighting the reelection of this man. I have interacted with pastors, gave them information about him fighting DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act. He doesn't want traditional marriage. Fighting and having an agenda of gay marriage, even at the ballot box, he was endorsing it. He has a gay agenda. A very radical gay agenda. I gave all the information about abortion as well, but at this time I had focused a lot on the gay agenda because I figured that if you are the professed Christian pastor, leader, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, how can you vote for anybody that stands on gay marriage, destroying traditional marriage, and abortion? And no matter what I said, no matter what proof I had, They turned a deaf ear. I lost family members. I lost colleagues.
See,
cannot understand. I think it's deception and justifying people's deception to vote for a man that stands for wickedness.
See, my dear sister, if you said that people heard you out and said, we agree these things are wrong and we're agonizing over it, but we feel we need to vote for him and we can't vote for a Mormon and we don't trust Mitt Romney and the Republicans and we know these are, we may differ, but sister, this is the way we're voting. Okay, I would still disagree, but at least people are trying to be Christian. I can't, look, I'm holding in my hands a letter sent to me just today from another black brother. He and his wife, black couple, he said, keep us in your prayers. We would greatly appreciate it. We have lost relationships with many friends and family, including the pastor who married us, because we lovingly challenged them to not support Obama due to his endorsement of abortion, homosexual marriage, and division of Israel. They have chosen to no longer associate with us. I hate to hear what you've been through and what they're going through. I don't understand that. Look, I don't care if it's black, white, green. There is some kind of stronghold when people respond like that over a political issue, especially when you have solid moral ground and biblical ground to say if someone wants to subvert marriage and say it's the union of any two people and is going to aggressively push gay activism, as we shared he would before he was elected, and if he's going to push the shedding of innocent blood in the womb, we can't vote for him. To lose Christian friends over that, that's unconscionable. There is a spiritual stronghold there that must be broken. Something is wrong with that picture. Hey, I've got to run, but thank you, sister, for weighing in. And help me out. Help Reverend Bruce out to understand this as well. Because something's wrong here. 866-34-TRUTH. We are, carrying this conversation out for another hour. I would have no problem if someone called in and pointed out hypocrisy and deception and strongholds among white evangelicals or among conservative Republicans. I'd probably say amen to every word you say. I'm not saying there's a one-way street on hypocrisy or there's a one-way street on deception or there's a one-way street in terms of spiritual strongholds. But when I'm hearing like this, not just from one or two people, but from numerous people, from pastor friends of mine who tell me that the doors are shut to them in black churches because they do not support Mr. Obama, something is wrong with that. Because under no circumstances could you say that he was such an incredibly good president who stood up for Christian values and morality that we all have to vote for him. So we're going to talk. Someone help me understand this. Can anyone justify that? Can anyone justify what happened to Reverend Bruce, a black sister who's been cut off by family for challenging them and voting for Mr. Obama because of his stance on gay activism and abortion? Again, I'm sure you could point out all kinds of hypocrisy and error on the white evangelical side. I probably pointed it out first, okay? I'm not saying it's a one-way street. I'm saying this simply is wrong and must be overcome. Everyone on hold, stay right there. I'm going to take your calls right in the next hour. Friends, we've got to do spiritual warfare. We've got to understand this. Black, white, green, blue, whoever we are. Get my 12-hour class on spiritual warfare, biblical, practical. It's on one CD for your computer or your MP3 player. And when you get it, I'm giving you free also about 10 more hours of teaching on Jesus' revolution and how we're called to live that will positively change your life. Call right now to order 1-800-278-978. That's 1-800-278-9978. $20 postage paid. My bottom line today, will you search your heart with me and see what pushes your button? Is your highest allegiance to Jesus and the kingdom of God, or is it to a political party or a political leader? Race, religion, politics. Do we dare talk about that on the radio? You bet.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we've just had an hour of fascinating interaction. We have been talking about topics that most people don't talk about. If they do, they talk about them in divisive ways, taking negative stereotype sides. My goal on this broadcast, The Line of Fire, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, my goal on this broadcast is to talk through the most controversial, difficult issues. The most controversial, difficult issues so that we can get more light than heat, so that we can put differences on the table with understanding and thereby cultivate unity. And there seems to be nothing more volatile and divisive than the subject of race, religion, and politics. I'm not pointing a finger in either direction. Again, let me say that differently. I'm pointing a finger in each direction. In other words, there are blind spots on every side. There are strongholds on every side. There's deception on every side. We've got to open our hearts before God, humble ourselves, ask God to shine the light of His Spirit in our own lives, and then talk to each other and listen to each other. 866-34-TRUTH. I received this letter on Friday. Dr. Brown, I just finished listening to today's show via podcast. So I guess speaking of a show a couple days earlier where we began our dialogue on race, religion, and politics. Since I was unable to listen live and call in, I decided to send a short note. My wife and I are both black. We voted for McCain in 2008 and Romney this year. We warned many black Christians that compromising by voting race over faith would bring the judgment of God. As I hear that blacks voted for Obama at a rate of 96% this year, obviously very few who voted Obama in 2008 re-examined themselves. My wife actually began to weep upon the announcement of Obama's re-election. As I consoled her, I reminded her that our Savior is Jesus Christ, not the president. She agreed but expressed concern over what our little children will face as they go through life battling the damage that Obama's radical policies have created. I said all that to say that there is still a small remnant of black Christians who are putting faith before race. But sadly, the large majority have turned to idolatry by making a god out of their race. Sad times indeed, but we look to our Lord where we find hope, peace, and joy. Do you think that's true? Do you think that some black Christians have made a god out of their race and put race before faith? Or have been colored by their allegiance to the Democratic Party to the point of not evaluating issues? Do you think it could be that they're white evangelical Christians that have made idolatry out of the Republican Party or their race and are blinded by that? How big a factor do you think that is either way? What's unacceptable to me is what I'm hearing from black Christian callers and those who write to me. The fellow who wrote this letter followed up with another one asking for prayer because, he said, and just heard from a sister, Reverend Bruce on Long Island, who said that she's been cut off by family, friends, other pastors, just as this gentleman who wrote in to me said, because they warned their black friends about voting for Mr. Obama exclusively because of his radical pro-abortion stand, his radical pro-gay activist stand, and in the case of this gentleman who wrote to me, because of his policies regarding Israel. Now, maybe you're a white evangelical and you voted for Obama and you've been cut off by your white family and friends. I'd like to hear about that. I want to put all the issues on the table. And I believe that white evangelicals have largely sold their soul to the Republican Party, and black evangelicals have largely sold their soul to the Democratic Party, and both have made a big, big mistake in doing so. That's my view. What do you think? Stay with us.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about race, religion, and politics and trying to understand one another better so that we can move forward united in Jesus to bring about the change that only the church can bring about. Anthony in Houston, Texas, thanks so much for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, this is Anthony. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Hi there, thank you. I know time is short, but I have four little comments. First
Please.
Of all, as the Bible says, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, so it's really not a black and white issue. And
Agreed.
Jesus said it's enough that the servant be as his master, so don't add nothing else to it, not Republican, not Democrat, no Baptist, no Catholic, anything else. And this election, I believe, it's God knew all about it. It revealed mm-hmm. the hearts of many. And it says, woe unto those who not only sin, but take pleasure in those that sin. So when a person's eyes are wide open and they choose for what they want, it's like saying, God, I know you're smart, but I got this. So it reveals the hearts of many people, and that's really showing the truth within a person's heart, and it brings judgment upon those. And other words, I believe this is the straw that broke the camel's back, what revealed what's really in a person's heart in this country.
Yeah, I agree with every word you just said from beginning to end, and you said it in barely over a minute, which is amazing. So well done, sir.
Thank you. God bless you, and you keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. That was so clearly said and so concisely said. I'm just going to say amen and go to the next call. Renee in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Thanks so much for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you. Many African Americans are racist, they're anti-Mormon, and they're bigots because Mormons are less than 2% minority here in the U.S. And this was despicable. They are racist. Sorry, black people, you're bigots. However, good point.
All right, tell you what, that's not the kind of approach we want here, Renee, nor the kind of language that we're going to use in such broad terms, all right? So maybe think about what you want to say and say it in a more constructive way, but I'm not going to have broad numbers of my listeners just insult it like that. Are there black bigots? Yes. Are there white bigots? Yes. Are there Hispanic bigots? Yes. Are there Mormon bigots? Yes. Are there Jewish bigots? Yes. But to make those broad statements, not on this broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. Brenda in Phoenix, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, this is Brenda.
Hi.
This is the first time I've ever heard your program, but I wanted to say, Anthony, who just called, he is so articulate in expressing, you know, what I believe. I'm a black conservative. I'm 68 years old, so I'm not a kid. Been around a while. And the backlash, the blowback from my speaking to people about, you know, the ungodly abortion and same-sex marriage stance of President Obama has cost me. I only have two sons. And because of my stand, I have not heard from either of my two sons for over a year now. And
really?
I have lost their fellowship, and they say that they don't know how they can have a relationship with me. So,
I'm troubled to hear that. How was your relationship with your sons prior to this?
I have two of the finest sons. I can't tell you how my older son was growing up in high school. He was the head of the Bible club at his school and so forth in California. So, and my other son, who I know to be involved in homosexuality, but still very, very close to both my sons, but because of my stand on these issues, they have chose. I have two Mother's Days have gone by without my hearing from them.
Did they express to you that it was your lack of support for President Obama or your criticism of his policies that caused them to cut you off?
Yeah, criticism of his. criticism of his policies and my narrow-mindedness and so forth. And so, but all of what has been said today, the lady that called and said, you know, how she has, you know, suffered the backlash and loss of friends and so forth, I have suffered that as well. But I just, there's an element that's going on here that I don't think people understand. It's true, it is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. But it is, I believe that one of the issues is we have a number of black people who have, and I'm not in any way justifying their behavior, but they have a shell of resentment, of unforgiveness, and so forth that that covers their souls because of the incidents, the humiliations, the frustration over race and so forth. It has become such a stronghold that it not only embraces them, but it permeates their families and so forth.
Mm.
And the only thing that's going to affect this is a forgiveness, the power of the Spirit of God, breaking that shell of that microscopic film of resentment and all forms over a person. You know, everybody wants dignity.
Yeah, and Brenda, let me just jump in. I would love to let you speak for the next 20 minutes. I'm jumping in for two reasons. One, I want to add my comments, and two, I want to be fair to as many callers as possible.
Sure.
But first,
sure.
I want to call on every mom that's listening to pray for Brenda and her sons that there would be reconciliation at the foot of the cross, and that this coming Mother's Day would be the best one that she's ever had. I want every mom listening to please pray for that. And it's look, I'm hearing this now from all too many people. When Christians say, I held to Christian values as to why I took issue with President Obama, I'm a black person, and I held to Christian values as to why I couldn't vote for him, and I've been cut off by family, by friends, by other pastors, that's unacceptable. That's sin. That's one thing. Now, I'm not saying it only happens in one circle. In other words, there could be all kinds of ways this happens in other circles, but I'm addressing this. That's first thing. Second thing, I had a note on my notes for today, and I wrote the word forgiveness with a question mark. I received a very poignant call from a black sister about this very issue a couple of years ago, and I was in extended interaction with someone on Facebook. I decided to take the time with a very gracious young black woman that wanted to challenge me on certain things. We went back and forth, and finally I raised the issue of forgiveness, and she said, you know, that's something God's dealing with me about. Look, I've been to Germany and ministered in Germany the generation after the Holocaust. I have many of my friends who lost many of their family members slaughtered by the Nazis in the Holocaust, and they have forgiven, and they reach out to German Christians as if they're long-lost brothers and sisters. There is extraordinary power there, and I think it's definitely an issue, Brenda, that I need to come back to and do a whole show about these different aspects of forgiveness. There's absolute truth to this. As long as we keep living in the horrors of the past without forgiving and moving forward, our judgment will be colored whoever we are. Our judgments will be clouded whoever we are. But Brenda, thank you so much for calling.
Amen.
May God's grace flood your entire family. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. God bless.
All right.
Bye.
866-34-TRUTH. What do you think of that? What do you think of the fact that I'm hearing this a lot from black Christian friends who are being cut off by family, who are being cut off by pastors, who are being cut off by friends because they said we can't vote for Barack Obama because of his radical pro-abortion policies and his radical pro-homosexual policies. We can't vote for him. To have respectful difference over it's one thing, but to divide over it? I don't get it. I don't get this. Something's wrong with that picture. 866-34-TRUTH. Lynette in Wyandanch on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hello, Dr. Brown. God bless you. My name is Lynette, and I personally know Reverend Bruce, and I have witnessed some of the things that she just expressed earlier. She's a very courageous and very godly woman. And I think that I'm mentioning courageous and being courageous and godly because I think that that's where the problem really lies. It's easy to go with the flow and know that you'll have all your friends and everything. But when standing with God means that you have to stand against other people, that's where, as the other brother mentioned, our heart gets really revealed. Are we really willing to be on the Lord's side when means that we will have to take a stand against something else? And I think, too, being godly, really respecting God's word, really having a healthy fear of God, allows us to think critically.
And Lynette, it's only by having a right, holy, healthy fear of God that we have a right perspective on relationships with people and decisions we make in this world. If we live in the light of eternity, we'll live a lot differently. Hey, thank you for the call.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us on a very important broadcast today on the Line of Fire as we talk about race, religion, and politics. 866-348-7884. Remember, my presupposition, I have blind spots, you have blind spots. We each have areas of thinking, perception that are lacking, and we need one another to fill those. My purpose in dialogue is the hope that I can expose blind spots in you and you can expose blind spots in me, and together we can move forward in a more united front in Jesus. 866-348-7884. Vanessa in Brooklyn, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
My perspective is a lot different. I voted for the president, and my issue was this. I think that Christians in America are too naive if they're looking for political leaders to be religious leaders. I think that God anointed kings to be kings and priests to be priests. Number one, I had an issue as a black evangelical, but also as being a woman, for a man to set down the law of reproductive rights. I have an issue with that. I personally am against abortion. I think what we should do as a nation is teach the children not to engage in these things that would promote them feeling to have the need to have one. But there are also different ramifications. That political leader who was running for Republican, when they asked him the question about rape, his response was that it was God's intention. He intimated that it was God's intention for that woman to be raped. I took offense to that.
Hang on. That was one comment from one person that had nothing to do with the president or the party that everyone rejected.
But Dr. Brown, when they asked Mr. Romney to address that, he never came up with the right thing.
We'll tell you what. Hang on. Just help me with this comment, all right? Who said this? Colored people are like human weeds and are to be exterminated. Who said that?
I don't know.
Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, the woman behind black genocide. I hear every day that it ever comes up from Mr. Obama wholehearted support for Planned Parenthood. These quotes have been raised. I know people who have raised these quotes to the Obama people, and they've never once been addressed. But here's my problem. Mitt Romney has nothing to do with those comments and was not going to get dragged into side issues because he's never said anything anywhere near that. The fact
know.
That you could hold that against him.
No. But if he had said, that man does not represent me or anything that I stand for, that would have put me at rest.
But how do you know he didn't say that?
He
did you hear every conversation about it? Did you hear? In other words, what troubles me is I don't even remember that being raised to him. But the problem is there are people who say crazy things on the Democratic side, and Barack Obama does not renounce every one of those.
I'm not a Democrat.
Right, but here's what troubles me. When you make reference to reproductive rights, that's the language of Planned Parenthood. That's the language of radical feminism. That's not the language of pro-life. And I'm not doubting that you're against abortion, and I believe we need to educate. It's a holistic issue. But if you know someone is the most radical pro-abortion president in our nation's history and aggressively stands with Planned Parenthood and black genocide of babies in the womb, I just don't understand how that person gets your vote when Mitt Romney's failure to repudiate something in a given interview, and I don't even know if that's the case. I have to, you know, listen to all the, read all the relevant transcripts. I don't understand. And look, I'm not attacking you. You're as civil and polite and gracious as can be. Okay, thank you. I still don't get it. If you knew, for example, that someone was funding the killing of Jews in Nazi Germany, or someone was funding the slave trade out of Africa 150 years ago, and the president aggressively supported that, how could you vote for that person? I see sitting out the election and saying I can't vote for Romney or Obama. I still don't understand it.
To be honest with you, I try not to compare atrocities. The Holocaust is the Holocaust. Slavery is slavery. I don't compare, nor will I ever compare those things to gay rights ever in life. Because
I would compare that to abortion. I compared those to abortion.
I don't agree with that comparison, because there are women who, by virtue of them being pregnant, now puts their life and their child in jeopardy. I believe that these women who are not strong in the faith should have the option.
Yeah, well,
if that makes me going against evangelicalism,
I think it makes you go against Jesus, because he cares for that precious little one in the womb. By all means necessary, we need to stand with. If the life of the person is in danger, Vanessa, one argues that to save the life of the mother, if that pregnancy is going to kill the mother. And you have to make a choice then. No one I know argues with the fact that in the case of trying to save the life of the mother physically, that pregnancy is going to kill her, then you have to terminate the pregnancy. Just like if you've got, you know, two people in the midst of a fire and you can only grab one out of one room and the other you can't get to, it's a tragedy, but you have to deal with it. But to say that because the woman's weak in faith, you kill the baby in the womb, tell you what, because you're a thinking woman, would you please, when you get a chance, just go to the website blackgenocide.org.
Okay.
Blackgenocide.org. Look at the pictures, read the articles, give it some prayerful thought, all right? And then let's continue to listen to one another and dialogue, all right? But thank you very much for the call. I appreciate
it. Sure. No problem.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, everyone, take a few minutes and go to blackgenocide.org. All right, I don't want to rush any calls, so everybody holding, Joseph, Joel, Terry, Linda, stay right there. I'm going to get to your calls on the other side of the break. You will not hear bigotry sanctioned on this program. In any direction, you will not hear that. Not acceptable. I cut off a caller earlier that was charging black Americans, just, you're bigots. Cut her off. That's not going to happen. Nor are you going to hear rhetoric like you heard from a megachurch pastor, I'm sure a man doing a lot of good in many, many ways for the Lord, but saying that the election of Barack Obama is paving the way for the Antichrist. You're not going to hear rhetoric like that from me. I know this pastor said it with sincerity. I'm sure there's more to the context of it, but you won't hear that from me. But you will hear me speaking the truth, even if it ruffles some feathers and may offend some people, because we've got to put the truth on the table. As one of our callers said earlier, this is ultimately spiritual warfare. Please get hold of this tremendously important teaching series I did, 12 hours of teaching on spiritual warfare. It's on one CD for your computer or for your MP3 player. $20, we'll pay the postage, but hang on, we're giving you another $20 series with it on Jesus Revolution. These will rock your world, build you up, strengthen you, and help you to live more effectively. Call or order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, if you bring up race, religion, and politics, it's hard to make a more volatile mixture of subjects, something that could get people upset, angry, and divided, and talking past each other. And yet, my focus for the last hour and a half and my focus for this next half hour is on that very mixture of subjects, race, religion, and politics. Why? Because I want to enhance radio ratings by controversy? No. Because I'm determined to help us hear one another, understand each other, find ways to speak to each other, and not allow things to divide us except where we should be divided, and that's between truth and error, that's between light and darkness, that's between being in Jesus or outside of him. Thank you for joining us on the Line of Fire. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. To briefly restate some of my premises, number one, I have said for many years that believers in general put way too much trust in the political system and way too much emotion in the political system, and look to the political system way too much to bring about the change that the church is supposed to bring about. Number two, white evangelicals tend to sell their soul. Those who are politically involved tend to sell their soul to the Republican Party and think if we can just get this particular candidate in office, then he or she will be the one that will finally overturn Roe v. Wade and help advance the pro-life cause in America, so on and so forth. Black evangelicals tend to sell their soul to the Democratic Party, and we just have to vote Democratic because they're the ones going to help the poor and social justice. And, of course, both sides are deceived by putting their trust in a political party. Both sides make terrible mistakes because we've had our pro-life presidents and abortions going on just the same, and funding of Planned Parenthood's going on just the same. Oh, there have been some minor changes along the way. But even with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the way that ultimately the greatest change would come in America is through the church being the church and getting involved in positive, holistic ways in terms of dealing with the epidemic of abortion. And when it comes to black Christians putting their trust in the Democratic Party, often it's at the price of overlooking other more important social justice issues like the killing of innocent babies in the womb, like the redefining of marriage and family through gay activism, and on top of that, an argument can be made that the Democratic policies have not helped black America or the poor. Now, I have no argument if a black American or Hispanic American says the Republican Party doesn't reach out to me, the Republican Party doesn't include me, the Republican Party doesn't understand me, and they need to step back and listen. I wouldn't argue that. I'm no defender of the Republican Party anyway. On the flip side, I think you must fairly and honestly look at things and say, have the policies that the Democrats have put forth really helped the poor? And can you justify voting democratically when voting for Democrats when Democrats are so radically pro-abortion? I've urged folks to go to the website blackgenocide.org. I want to urge you again to go there. Read the quotes from Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. Look at the pictures of the horrors of abortion there. And I'm trying to get answers to questions today. Are you a white evangelical who supported Barack Obama? If so, were you cut off by family, friends, pastors, others? I've heard from all too many black evangelicals, black Christians, who told me they could not vote for Barack Obama and urge family, friends, others not to, and they have been cut off by their sons, they have been cut off by their pastors, they have been cut off by other family members and friends. If either of these things has happened, that is completely, totally unacceptable and unjustifiable. How do we move forward? The Line of Fire is a place that will be a dividing line between truth and error, but it'll be a line that fights against division, that fights against the enemy coming in and separating brothers and sisters. Let's talk your calls when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Last point, then I want to go to your calls. Can you understand how some Christians can be one-issue voters? Meaning that if we lived in the days of slavery, no matter how good this candidate would have been on 10 other areas of importance, if they were pro-slavery, we could not vote for them. In the same way, today, I cannot vote for any candidate who stands for the shedding of innocent blood, as Mr. Obama does. Now, doesn't mean I would vote for Mitt Romney, necessarily, or some other candidate. It simply means I could not, in conscience, vote for him. The same thing with any candidate that supported radical gay activism. I could not vote for them in conscience before God, because my vote is my amen. I'm standing with you. I am helping you get empowered to do that. I hope you can understand that. And I still have not gotten an answer from Christians who say, I know abortion is wrong, yet I voted for a pro-abortion candidate anyway. I still don't understand that, and I've not gotten an answer that even goes a tenth of an inch to satisfying my question. 866-34-TRUTH. Joel in Tampa, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you for even tackling this issue. I am a black male. I did vote for Obama. I voted for Obama in 2008. I voted for Obama in 2012. My pastor is a Caucasian guy. I attend his church. He kept blasting Obama all through the election, before the election. He wrote on my Facebook wall that, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. As if God is in heaven scratching his head, not knowing that he placed Obama in the White House. I believe that as a Christian that God is still in control. I understand the fact that Obama has his issues. I understand the fact that Mitt Romney has his issues. When I went to vote, there was a Caucasian gentleman behind me. He began to talk with me, and he said he could not vote for Obama because Obama's a sinner. And I said, well, I really can't vote for Mitt Romney because he's a sinner, and I guess we both might as well get out of line. I believe that America's never going to have, because of the crooked system in America and because how everything is set up with secret societies and so forth and so on, I don't think we're going to ever have a Christian candidate that believes in Christian values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe both Mitt Romney and both Obama have their faults. I don't agree with Obama on abortion. I don't agree with him on same sex. I'm married. He's married. But, you know, nor do I believe in Mitt Romney and saying that he's pro-life, because Mitt Romney has flip-flopped on a lot of issues. At one point, he said he's pro-choice.
Yeah, and Joel, that his flip-flopping was one of my great concerns, and I voted for him with great reservation, only based on his current stand. But Joel, help me just understand one thing, though, okay? And that's why we're having this conversation, to talk these things through, all right?
Sure.
If we lived in the days of slavery and there was a pro-slavery candidate, could you say, okay, we simply cannot justify voting for him under any circumstances? Could you accept that tenet?
Yeah, I would wish we wouldn't vote for him, but the truth of the matter is, I believe that whoever the king is or the president is, he's in the hands of God. Throughout the Bible, there were
No, I understand that, but I understand that we have a democracy, we vote, so at the very least, God holds us responsible for our vote. So if you know that you are saying amen to a man who is advocating black genocide by aggressive support for Planned Parenthood, which is ultimately abortion being the number one killer of black men and women in America today, how do you justify doing that? If you say, I can't vote for Romney either, so I'm going to sit out the election or vote for a third-party candidate, I can respect that. I just don't understand if you know that he is pushing this to the point that every taxpayer in America is going to have to fund abortion under his laws and mandates. I just don't have an answer to that as to how that can be done, regardless of his skin color or anything else.
Yeah. What I would say to that is, you know, just like in Bible times, there were many wicked kings in Bible time. I believe God wasn't scratching his head. I believe God knew what God is always in control, you know, whether we think so or not. God is in control. And regardless to what men do, regardless of what secret society's agenda, God is ultimately in control. And And the Bible tells me that for there's no power but of God.
Yeah.
And the power that be ordained of God. So therefore, God, I don't think God's in heaven scratching his head because the Bible.
No, he's not. Yeah, and Joel, and certainly. And I want to get to some other calls, but thank you, sir, for weighing in. He's not scratching his head. He is in control, but we're responsible for our vote. That I still don't have an answer to that. We're responsible for our vote. And when we vote for a candidate, we are empowering that candidate and saying, I'm behind you for your platform. I'm behind you in what you stand for. Again, so I have no problem if Christians said I have to sit out this upcoming election when it comes to the presidential vote. And I know many are criticized for sitting out. I personally had no problem with someone coming to that conclusion based on the choice of candidates. What I have a massive problem with is Christians dividing where they cut people off. Now, look, I've just heard this from black callers. If you experience this as a white person, you tell me as well. But black callers telling me that they've been cut off by family, friends, and pastors for saying we cannot vote for Barack Obama because he's pro-abortion, pro-gay activism. That's very troubling. That's grievous, and that points to something being wrong. But again, there could be parallels that are wrong in Hispanic society, white society. We'll expose all of them. We're going to be equal opportunity truth speakers here on the Line of Fire. Joseph in McLeansville, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. All right, my point is there's an example of God's judgment against racism in the Old Testament. Look back at Moses. He married an Ethiopian.
Yep.
And his sister Miriam was with Aaron in the tent, and she was insulting Moses about that fact. And God said, come step outside the tent, Miriam, and turn her skin white.
Oh, yeah.
With leprosy, and said, oh, you want to be white? And she finally repented. He's like, don't mess with my man. It's okay, interracial marriage and all that. That's my main point, which is, you know, God sees beyond, sees our heart.
Absolutely. There is no place for racism in the body in any shape, size, or form. And if we judge people based on skin color, if we judge people based on ethnicity, then we are making a grave error. And absolutely, there was intermarriage with Moses and an Ethiopian woman. Now, Moses was not a white European. He was a Middle Eastern man.
Right.
He married a black woman.
Slightly darker.
Yeah, he married a black woman, and when there was criticism over it, God absolutely rebuked him. Well said, and Joseph, I appreciate you calling to raise that. See, that's what grieves me. Why is criticism of Barack Obama racism? I still don't understand that after 4 years. When I was taking issue with Bill Clinton as president, that wasn't racism, was it? When some of you were taking issue with George Bush as president, that wasn't racism, was it? That's another thing I don't get in terms of if someone is coming just clearly addressing issues. If there was a black candidate that was running against Obama and he stood for righteousness, you better believe he'd have my vote. If Barack Obama stood for righteousness, you better believe he'd have my vote. And I'm not saying Mitt Romney did stand for righteousness. I'm just saying the last thing I was saying was race. But we're going to keep talking. 866-34-TRUTH. Terry in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. First, I'd like to make a comment about Anthony, who said, you know, whether you're black or you're white, it's not about your color. And quite honestly, I am from a very prominent Mormon family. I am Christian. I'm a white Anglo-Saxon. So as far as my not participating within the Mormon faith, I have been angst or outcasted by my Mormon family.
Yep.
So I don't think it's just a racist thing. It's also because I'm not within that religion.
However, we get cut off from family all the time over religious and spiritual issues. That I understand. But anyway, you were saying your vote. Yeah.
But because I wasn't going to vote for Romney either. I didn't vote for Romney. I didn't vote for Obama. And I think what America is refusing to see is there is another way of voting. I mean, if you don't like either political candidate, you can write in a vote. Where did we forget that it came to only two parties? We are America. If this is a democracy, which shortly it won't be if they take over the national health care system, because it'll be, you know, we're very close to socialism. I really don't see you know, why people didn't think for themselves and think there was only two candidates to vote for.
Yeah, and Terry, I heard from many who said they were going to write in a vote. It ended up being a small percentage. The problem is it did nothing in terms of advancing that cause. That's the problem. So will there be a third party that rises up? Herman Cain is calling for one, saying there needs to be a third party. There are many who agree. But right now, this much we know, Terry, is that there is a third party, which is the people of God. It's not a political party. If we stand up and do what's right and honor the Lord, we can see change come. Back with your calls. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we continue our discussion on race, religion, and politics, not to stir controversy, but to increase understanding. 866-34-TRUTH. Linda in Raleigh, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi. Hello, Michael Brown. I enjoy your show. I just tuned in when you started. I'm African-American, married to a Caucasian preacher, and I agree with some of the callers and the things that you say in regards to just voting for a black president in regards to no matter what he stands for, even if it's for danger, just because of his color. A day before election, my husband and I was kicked out of an all-black church because he wouldn't get a job. He's on the platform with the leader. So I agree that they voted for Obama just because of his color and not by what he stood for. I was at the gas station and a woman was in front of me and she said, "Oh my, I'm so glad we still have our black president." So I do believe that Obama was voted for because he's black, not because what he stood for.
Yeah, and Linda, there's no question that there are many who did vote that way, even within the church, which does concern me. Now, I recognize there's racism on every side, and of course, as a black woman married to a white pastor, I'm sure you've both been hit with it, hit with black racism, hit with white racism. But there's also the deeper issue of black evangelicals basically selling their soul to the Democratic Party, that's just how they vote, as white evangelicals have sold their soul to the Republican Party. So even if there had been a white Democratic president, I fear to say that many black evangelicals would have automatically voted Democrat, all the more as a black president. And conversely, there were white evangelicals who compromised some of their own convictions, not to vote for a white man, but to vote for a Republican that said he would be pro-life, even though he was more. But Linda, thank you for raising that, and you have a certain right and ability to say that beyond I do. Joel in Pensacola, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I'm agreeing 100% with what your summary is on politics, race, and religion. It seems to be a pattern. Like I'm in the military, for example. Predominant in the military, they're all Republicans, just because previous Republican presidents always favors, you know, the military, either with increase in pay raises, things of that nature. But it seems to be a pattern, even though in the church. But one of the things that I have to say is God has been sending a flashing light, a signal for a long time, for the church to get out of the secular life. I understand we have a responsibility to elect the best candidate mm-hmm. based on the issues that concern us. But I can't believe that people still hurt about the prayers at the schools is being taken out. It's time for the church to stand up and start working out some of those issues as a community. I mean, it is unthinkable for the people of Israel, even in this time, to send our kids to secular school. I mean, we teach them something, but at school they battle with their peers for values that is not in line with, you know, the word of God.
Right, and that of course, Joel, yeah, that raises a larger issue in terms of Christians and public schools and that whole discussion. But what I want to come back to, and it's a very important issue, by the way, where a kid should be educated and taught. But what I want to come back to is this fact that we emotionally, energy, and even sometimes with finances and activity, throw ourselves so much into the political campaigns, especially for president. And if we threw ourselves that much into evangelism, our community, serving the poor, fighting against abortion, giving hope for the mothers and kids, praying for awakening, standing for righteousness, America would be shaken. All right, I've got time for one more call. Michael in Gainesville, Virginia. We're short on time, but please go for it, sir.
You know, I appreciate the allowance. I agree with 99.9% you say. Let me just get out there first of all.
Uh-huh.
I'm a black male, 20 years old, and I was going into this election like shaking at the poll booth and sitting there like, who am I going to vote for? Because I'm voting for Obama basically because he is black. I'll admit that right now. That's the only reason. If you look at abortion, I don't support abortion. I'm totally against that. Gay rights, I don't care if they get together, but I don't want them to call it marriage. It's pretty much my only issue with that. And the whole capping down the military, I'm just like, I don't think that should be done. I think our military should be one of the strongest forces in our nation. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the booth and I'm just like, why am I voting for him? And it was really based on only the reason was he's black. That was the only reason. So I think it should be like a global awakening that you shouldn't just vote for a candidate based on because he looks like you. It should be based on if the politics fit. Because now I'm kind of ashamed of what I did, like listening to everybody talk. Like, how can you support somebody who murders kids? Because you're not innocent of that blood, because that blood's also in your hands because you voted for him, you put him in power to be able to take those lives. So like,
well, Michael, let me say this. I deeply appreciate your honesty and your candor, and I'm sure all of us have done things that as we look back on, we're ashamed of, we realize they were wrong decisions. Again, this is not an endorsement of Mitt Romney, and I'm absolutely not saying, well, you should have voted for Mitt Romney. Obviously, I'm saying if you had issues of conscience, you couldn't vote for Barack Obama. But what I want you to know, though, Michael, is your courageous call, speaking honestly and without making an excuse, does more to undo the vote than not voting at all. So even though if you had an issue of conscience, of course you couldn't vote for the man, the fact of the matter is, calling and being honest and now saying, okay, Father, what can I do to make a difference? What can I do to be of help? Yes, we're going to pray for President Obama. He's my president as much as yours. He's been elected. We're going to pray for him, and we're going to pray for God to get hold of him and make him a champion for righteousness. But Michael, maybe the Lord will use this recognition of an error on your end and saying, yeah, we need awakening here, to use you to bless and touch others. You're not the only one who's been through this. And perhaps this can help move forward the church as a whole, black and white together, to major on what majors, what matters most. Michael, thank you, sir, for the call. I deeply appreciate it. Friends, that single call, many of the calls, but that single call enough is worth bringing up this subject for 2 hours on the air. Please get hold of a very important resource series that so ties in with these issues, Spiritual Warfare. It's 12 hours of my best teaching on the subject on one CD for your computer or MP3 player. When you order it, I'm also giving you free another series of 8 messages I brought on Jesus Revolution, including What About Prayer in the Schools. Altogether, $20 postage paid. Take advantage of these. They will be life-changing and life-equipping. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go online to AskDrBrown.org and click on the online bookstore. My bottom line today, let us be the people who transcend racial division, ethnic division, and superficial outward division, and let us unite together as one people in the Lord.